Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Vav. Today's shiur is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for that sponsorship. We are holding on daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. We're going to pick up at the Mishnah on daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah is going to discuss four more situations, four more halachos, rather, that are not derived directly from a pasuk, but are based on an asmachta from a pasuk. We're going to have a halacha about paleta shechva zera, a halacha about bathing a baby after a bris milah, a halacha about the sir la azazel and the red string that was tied around it, and a halacha of sicha kishtia on Yom HaKippurim. The Gemara is then going to discuss how either our Mishnah must be reflecting a shita of two different Tanaim, or you have to change the text in our Mishnah somewhat. And then the majority of the daf is going to discuss the inyan of paleta shechva zera. We're going to have different shitos in Tanaim for how long a woman is still considered to be paleta shechva zera, meaning how long do we assume that the zera is still viable and therefore it's metame a woman when she's paletas like a balkeri. And we're going to have to fit that timing into Matan Torah, because we had to be Parish Meisha prior to Matan Torah in order to avoid any sort of Tumah at the time of Matan Torah. So we're going to have to fit in all of the different Shitos into how Matan Torah happened. So I guess, again, the opposite of a Daf Yomi coincidence. And here we are discussing how the timing of Matan Torah worked the day after Shavuos, and really this whole week. We're going to be discussing Sugis of Matan Torah throughout tomorrow and the next day and the day after. So this we're hitting the sugis of Matan Torah right now. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what is the status of Shechva Zera if it's coming if it's coming out of a man, meaning how long do we assume that it retains its Tumah status after a man emits Shechva Zera, not only when it's dripping out of a woman after Tashmish. And then the Gemara is going to talk about, and what about the status of Shechva Zera if it's coming out of a non-Jewish woman? Does it happen any differently when it comes to a non-Jew? And what about when it comes out of a behema? Does it also retain its potency for 3 days, even when it's in a behema, when it's inside of a behema's body? So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph. So again, it's just continuing the list of halachos that we derive from asmachtos and psukim, and this is all to lead up to one halacha that actually relates to Masechet Shabbos, but we're not going to hit that halacha today. So the issue is a shechva zera that emerges from a woman's body. For how long after Tashmish Amita do we assume that that zera is still going to be potent zera? Because in Masechet Nida and Daf Nun Vav, we learned that from the fact that the Torah calls it Shechva Zera, it's only Metame when it's Ru'uya to be Mazria, when it's able to be potent. And therefore, if the woman even if it drips out of the woman after it loses its potency, it's no longer going to be Metame the woman on its way out. So, Minayin Lepaleta Shechva Zera Beyom HaShlishi Temeya, or Shehi Temeya, some have a Girsa, Shetei Temeya, others have a Girsa. How do I know that Paleta Shechva Zera on the third day since Tashmish, the third day after Tashmish, that it's going to be Temeya? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says prior to Matan Torah, Hayu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yamim, that, and the Pasuk continues, Al Tikshu El Isha, that we were warned prior to Matan Torah to be Purish from our wives for 3 days, in order that the Torah could be given on the fourth day, and that Prisha was because we didn't want the women to become Tameh by via the Shechva Zera that's going to drip out of their body, because the Torah was very makbid that Matan Torah not happen b'tumas keri, that we couldn't have tumas keri at the time of Matan Torah. Right? We had sugyos and mesechas brachos about this, that the Torah had to be be'ema b'yira b'retes b'ziyah, Kabbalah HaTorah had to be with a certain sense of seriousness, and a balkeri, the tumah of balkeri, is a tumah that represents a certain sense of kalus rosh, and therefore the Torah could not be given while there was a tumas balkeri around. So even though all other forms of tumah were perfectly okay, the Torah was not makbid about other forms of tumah, about a zav and a mitzora and boalei nidos. Tumas keri is different, because that's the basis of keri is kalus rosh, and Kabbalah HaTorah, the Gemara and Brachos Tav Chav Beis, tells us has to be be'ema b'yira b'retes b'zir. So it's dafka to maskeri that could not happen. So since we're told 3 days in advance to be parish me'isha prior to matan Torah, it sounds like that you can be tovel b'lel revi, and then you don't have to worry about paleta shech v'zera anymore. Physically, there might be zera that's still dripping out of the body. It doesn't matter. It's not going to have a din of zera anymore, apparently, after that amount of time. Second halacha, minayin shemar chitzin asamila. How do I know that you're allowed to warm up water on Shabbos in order to bathe a mila biyom ha-shlishi shechalios b'Shabbos on the third day since the mila that falls out on Shabbos, even because on the third day we assume the baby is in a dangerous territory, and therefore the warm water is going to strengthen the baby and bring the baby back to health. Shenamar, because the pasuk says by Shimon and Levi when they went to Shechem after the inhabitants of Shechem went through a bris mila, vayihi bayom hashlishi biyosam kovim, that it was on the third day after the mila that they were that the inhabitants of Shechem were mesukan, that they were in danger, and that's why Shimon and Levi viewed that as an opportune time to attack. Tosfos Yontif points out that this mishnah has the girsa when this mishnah repeats itself in Perek Rav Lazer de Mila and Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, or this part of the mishnah is marchitzin es hakatan, and the mishnayos in the Yerushalmi have marchitzin es hakatan over here as well. So there's a machlokas amoraim in the Yerushalmi about the girsa of the mishnah. Should it be marchitzin es hakatan or marchitzin es hamila? And nafkamina is: are you allowed to bathe the entire baby, or only allowed to bathe the area where the bris mila is? And the Yerushalmi's maskana is that it's marchitzin es hakatan, that la halacha one is allowed to bathe the entire baby. So you're allowed to heat up the water on Shabbos in order to bathe the baby, because it's considered to be a cholash yesh basakan. And that's what the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis, is the kavana of our Mishnah. That's what it sounds from Rashi as well. So Hasemesh just points out, you can't prove that from our Mishnah, that you're allowed to heat up the water. Heating up water on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa. It could be that our Mishnah is just telling us that we're allowed to violate the issur d'rabbanan of Ruchitza Bechamin, that there's a separate issur midrabbanan of bathing in warm water on Shabbos, and that the Mishnah is saying, the baby's not really cholash yesh basakana, but he's in some pain, and therefore we're willing to sacrifice the Yisud Rabbanan in order for to bathe the baby. L'chora, you don't need 3 days from Mila to violate the Yisud Rabbanan, because every baby, every infant has a din of a Chol Hashem Basakana, and you're allowed to violate an Yisud Rabbanan for any baby. So that's probably the Hechrich that the Rambam has, that it must be talking about violating an Yisud HaRaisa, that it must be talking about the heating up the water in order to bathe the baby. Another issue that comes up over here is Fasemis raises the question that the need to bathe the baby in warm water is because of pikuach nefesh, apparently, which is docha kol ha-Torah kula. So why do I need an asmachta from a pasuk of Ayhi b'yom ha-shlishi to tell me that you can bathe the baby when he's a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana? So pashtus is that it's not a kasha at all. Because the baby might look okay, meaning the baby might look like he's not a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana. He might just look like he's somewhat uncomfortable. We're bringing a raya from the pasuk to diagnose that he's in fact a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana, that I would have assumed that he's a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana like every other baby. So no, that's what the pasuk is coming to teach me. Of course, once I know he's a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana, then of course I could do whatever I want in order to save the baby's life. But it's to diagnose him as in fact being a chol ha-shiyish b'sakana. Then a third halacha, minayin shekoshen loshon shel zahoris berosh seir mishtalech. How do I know that they tie a red strand around the head of the seir la'azazel in Yom HaKippurim, and then on its own it would turn white, and that was a simon that we achieved mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, because the pasuk says in the Navi Yeshaya, when he's giving mussar to the Jewish people, and he's telling us we should admit our averos, and if we've done bad, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will still accept our tshuva. So he tells us, b'shem Hashem, that im yu chateichem kashanim, kashel gyalbinu, that even if our sins are stained like a red stain that could be seen from a great distance, meaning our sins are so obvious and so evident, nevertheless HaKadosh Baruch Hu will whiten them like snow. So from that pasuk, we the Chacham learned that we tie a Lashon Shel Zahoris on the head of the Seir Mishtalech that comes to be Mechaper for the Averos, that red is a color that represents sin, white is a color that represents cleanliness from sin or being cleansed of one's sins. And therefore, this is an esmachta for the idea of the red strand on the Rosh Seir Mishtalech. And a final halacha, minayin l'sicha shikashti of Yom Kippurim, how do I know that just like you're not allowed to drink on Yom Kippurim, you're also not allowed to do sicha on Yom Kippurim, you're not allowed to anoint your body with oils on Yom Kippurim, aval pishen raya l'davar, zecha l'davar, even though there's no clear raya, there's at least an esmachta. Shenemar, the pasuk says, in Tehillim, about the people that David was cursing. So the pasuk says, "Vatavo kamayim bikirbo v'chashemen ba'atzmosav." It's talking about the klala. David is saying that they're going to be cursed, and that curse should enter like water inside of them, and like oil on their bones. So you see that the sicha of shemen is compared to the drinking of water. So that's how we see that sicha's kishtia. The Gemara Maseches Yuman Daf Ayin Dalid tells us that it's not really 100% that sicha's like shtia, it's only as far as the iser is concerned. But as far as the chiyuv kares, there's only a chiyuv kares for achilu v'shtia in Yom Kippurim. But the other inuyim, including sicha, there is no chiyuv kares. Tosfos points out that that's why it's not a raya gemura from the pasuk. I mean, the reason it's not a raya gemura from the pasuk is even though there is apparently a hekesh in the pasuk between sicha and shtia, is because the pasuk isn't really talking about shtia. Tosfos points out the pasuk is talking about mayim coming onto a body, but it really means being bathed in mayim, meaning it says, it means mayim on the body the same way oil would be on the body. So since it's not really talking about shtia, it's not a good raya that sicha is in fact kishtia. The Ritva points out that even if you say the pasuk is talking about shtia, it still wouldn't be a raya gemura, because the pasuk is saying is only written bedarach mashal, and you can't bring a raya from a pasuk that's only written as a mashal. It is interesting that all of the halachos that we're quoting this entire parak, including all of the halachos in this Mishnah, are all only in asmachta. They're all not a raya ledavar, they're only a zecha ledavar. And yet, it's only by this last one that the Mishnah says explicitly, afal pi she'ein raya ledavar, zecha ledavar. So the Mukhe Yosef points out, the reason that the Tana just adds it in over here, that it's not a limud gamur, even though all of them are only in asmachta, is because over here there's room to make a mistake, and to be chayiv kares on sicha, since we are linking the two, we are equating the two, so one might have made a mistake in the halacha, and one might have said, oh, so if one does sicha on Yom HaKippurim, that they're going to be chayiv kares. So that's why we want to bring a raya make it clear that this is not a raya, and therefore sicha is not halachically the equivalent of shtia. This sugya about sicha k'shtia comes up in two different places and is very relevant halacha l'maisa. It comes up over here, it also comes up in Nida Daf Lamed Beis, when it talks about rubbing truma oil on someone who's a zar, on someone who is a non-kohen. So the Gemara over there also uses the term sicha k'shtia. So the Gemara brings psukim of lo yichalu eskatshe b'nei yisrael asher yarimu l'Hashem l'rabos and this pasuk that we have over here as well. So Tosos in Yuma Daf Ayin Zayin is bothered why I need two separate psukim to prove the same point. Meaning, why would the Gemara think that it's necessary to quote a pasuk in Tehillim if there's already a pasuk in Chumash that indicates that sichas kishtia? So Tosos explains that the Gemara quoted a second pasuk to indicate that even if there would not have been nisadar raisa to anoint yourself with truma oil, it still at least would have been Asur Midrabanan. A little bit difficult, but what do you mean? There is an Issur Daraisa. So the Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, Nida Daf Lamed Beis, that even the pasuk that the Gemara quotes from the Torah is not really meant to indicate that there's an Issur Daraisa. The pasuk is Nasmachta Bialma, so Nasmachta, you can quote psukim from all over the place. So there is a major machlokas Rishonim over here. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosfos that we only find that there's an Issur Darabanan with oil, but with chelev or shum, any other non-kosher products, you can anoint away whatever you want. Meaning, sicha kishtia is only sicha shemen. But to rub any other non-kosher product on one's skin, totally fine, says Rabbeinu Tam. But the Beis Yosef in Yerodea, Simul Kuf Chav Gimel, quotes a Rashba, that even if one's life is not in danger, they're allowed to use non-kosher fats to anoint their skin, but the Nekudas Kesef is mochiach from the Rashba that if you're completely healthy, then you shouldn't even use such products. Meaning the Rashba says, even if you're a chalashembo sakana, you could use animal fats and other things. Says the Nekudas Kesef, sounds like if you're perfectly healthy, then you should not rub these things on your body, even non-oils, even other things, other non-kosher products. And the Beis Yosef quotes in Orchos Chaim that even though you're allowed to do business with many non-kosher food products, you're not allowed to rub them on your skin because sicha kishtia, it's the equivalent of being shosa, of drinking all of these products. So how do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch paskins in Aruch Chaim Simin Shin Chavav Sif Yud that you're not allowed to wash your hands with soap made from chelev on Shabbos because of a nisr of nola, that you're changing the form. So the Nekudas Kesef points out that that apparently, so the obvious implication is that it's mutter, meaning that it's mutter in terms of sicha kishtia, that we're not worried about using soaps that are non-kosher. The only issue is a hilcha Shabbos issue when it comes to using soaps on Shabbos. The Bir Halacha, however, quotes the sheet of the Gra, and the Gra held that it's asur midrabanan to wash with non-kosher soap, meaning that even your soaps have to be made only of kosher products. And the Bir Halacha says the minig is that to rely on Rabbeinu Tam, who thought that it's mutter, but the Gra was machmir about this. And the Bir Halacha says it's kedai to be machmir for the Gra, that you should look for kosher soap. So that it seems like, wow, that's a major discussion in Halacha, that when we're looking for soap, you should look for a soap that has an OU on it. So the Pasha says it's not so, because whenever something is nifsal me'achila, certainly so that which is nifsal me'achilas, even nifsal me'achilas Adam, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Samach Zayin derives from the pasuk that nevela ruy leger is kriya nevela, she'en ruy leger is ena kriya nevela. So then it doesn't even have the status of non kosher. So if someone were to eat it, they would not be in violation of the iser. So then sicha kishtia, they're not in violation the Isser when they rub it on the skin. The Gra's Chumra is limited, apparently, to those soaps that are edible, which significantly limits the field, meaning all of the soaps that we use, we assume are not edible anyway. And that's why you don't hear of so many people that are makbid to use kosher soap. You will find every once in a while on dishwashing soap, you'll find a hashkacha on it, or something, you'll find an OU on it. So there are some people that are concerned that the dishwashing soap, maybe they dafka because they know people don't always rinse them off so well. Maybe they dafka make them without such a pungent flavor. And if it doesn't have a bad flavor, then might be a kashrus problem if it's ingested. But pashtus is that the soaps do not have a delicious flavor. They are, in fact, nifsal me'achila, and therefore they do not require hashkacha. I believe OU policy is that when a soap company asks for hashkacha, they first inform them, you know, you don't need hashkacha. It's unnecessary to have hashkacha. Just like when a water company asks them for hashkacha, you don't need hashkacha, water is kosher, and then they'll only give the hashkacha when the company says, yes, we understand that, but we think that having an OU is a symbol of quality and we're interested. So they'll send a mashgiach down. It's a pretty easy job for that mashgiach, you know, he doesn't have to do much, but that I think is their policy. So anyway, says the Gemara. So we're going to be focused again. We had four halachas in the Mishnah. We're going to be focused purely on the first of the four halachas, the halacha of paleta shechva zera. So the Gemara asks that the Reisha, the Mishnah says, that a paletas biyom ashlishi is still tameya. So Reisha delok Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. That seems to be against Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, who holds that a paletas biyom ashlishi is tahora. But then Seifa, the Seifa of the Mishnah that talks about bathing the baby on the third day, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, safe over here, meaning the second of the four halachos, that talks about bathing the baby in warm water when the third day from the meal of Shabbos, that does follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. So the E, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Tahora Shemanale. If you were to say that the Reisha were going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, it's off, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says Tahora on the third day. So says the Gemara, Mandala Moki Ketanoi, Tana Reisha Tahora, Umuki Lolukula, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. If you are averse to taking a single Mishnah and saying that the Mishnah is going like two different Tanoim, so then you would say you would have to change the wording in the Reisha. The Reisha would have to say Tahora instead of Temeya, and the entire Reisha would be going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. But Aman Demokim Ketanai, but if you're the kind of Amora who doesn't mind saying that a Mishnah follows two different Shittos in Tanaim, so then you keep the text the way it is, Reisha Rabban, V'sefer, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, the Reisha is going like the Rabban, the Sefer is going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, meaning we have a choice to make over here. Something's got to give. Either we have to change the wording of the Mishnah, or we have to say that the Mishnah is following two different Shittos. The source of such a Machlokas, meaning who are these Man Demokim Ketanai, Man Delomokim Ketanai, the source is the Sugya Meseches Bab Metzia on Daf Mem Aleph. The Mishnah on Daf Mem, Meseches Bab Metzia, talks about someone who's Mafkid Chavis Eitzel Chavero, and the Bailum was not Miyachin and Makom, where there's a Machlokas Tanaim by a Gazlan who's returning a Gzela, L'Rashus HaBailum Shalomi Daitam. If I stole something and I want to return it, can I just put it back where I found it, or do I have to let the guy know that I have in fact returned it? Is that considered like a Veheshev HaSegzela? Is that considered a Maisa Hashava where I'm no longer responsible for it? Or no, does Hashava HaSegzela demand that I let the Bailum know that I've returned it? So the Gemara asks a stira in that Mishnah from the Reisha to the Seifa, because the Reisha sounds like it is considered Hashava, and the Seifa sounds like it's not considered Hashava. So Rabbi Yochanan over there says, "Mi sheyamidus Mishnas Chavis Ketan Echad that Hashem Shenu va'oluches kelev achrav lebeis hamerchat." That if you could say that this Mishnah is going like a single Tana, wow! If you're able to explain this Mishnah like a single Tana, I will be mishamish you, says Rabbi Yochanan. I will go and I'll work for you like a slave works for a master. I'll bring your kelim to a beis hamerchat, which was a Maisa Avdus. So Rabbi Yochanan could have very simply explained the Mishnah by saying that the Mishnah is going like two different Shittos in Tanaim. But apparently he didn't want to do that. He would much prefer to say that the whole Mishnah is going like one Shita in Tanaim. And then other Amoraim said, nah, the Mishnah is going like two different Tanaim. So apparently you have this Machlokas, that's what Rashi alludes to over here, that that's what the Gemara is talking about when it says Man Delomoki Kitanaim. And Mandamoki Ketanai is referring to that sugya in Meseches Bav Metzia. Okay, so either our Mishnah has to be changed or our Mishnah follows two different Shittos. So now let's discuss this Machlokas about Poleta Shechvazera. For how long is a woman still going to be Temeya as a Poleta Shechvazera? Tan Rabbanus, we bring a Brisa. Really, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in the 8th Parak of Mikvos says pretty much the same thing, but we say Tan Rabbanan because there's one extra line that we're adding in that only appears in the Tosefta and doesn't appear in the Mishnah at the very end of Vim Yatsa Mixasona. But bottom line is, this the same thing appears in the Mishnah. Poleta Shechvazera b'yom ha'shlishi. If a woman is being poletas the zera on the third day after having tashmish, meaning she had tashmish on Thursday and she's poleta shechvazera on Shabbos, meaning counting the day of the tashmish, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. So whether she had the tashmish at the beginning of Thursday, meaning Wednesday night, and there were four full onos that passed, there was lel chamishi, yom chamishi, lel shishi, or whether she was Mishamesh at the end of Thursday, right before Shkia on Thursday, where it was only a little bit of Yom Chamishi, and then a full Lel Shishi and Yom Shishi, and there were therefore only really two Onos that passed. Either way, Tahora de Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, meaning it's counterintuitive. Paleta Shechva Zara, how long the Zara remains potent, is not time-based, it's calendar-based, which is, again, counterintuitive. You would imagine the amount of time that it's in the woman's body, it's slowly going to decay, and it's going to get to a point where it's no longer going to be potent after a certain number of hours. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says, not that way. It doesn't matter how many onos, how many hours it's been inside, and what matters is that it's the third day. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Pam Shein Arba Onos, Pam Shein Chamish Onos, Pam Shein Sheish Onos. Rabbi Yishmael disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, holds Poleta Chatzis Biyom HaShlishi is Temeya, that you need to wait till the fourth day. But he does agree that Mikzi Yom Kekulo, that it's not time-based, it's calendar-based. And therefore, sometimes it's going to be four full onos till you get to day four. Like, let's say she had Tashma Shamita on Wednesday right before Shkia, so she's Temeya until Lel Shabbos, meaning Thursday, she's going to it's going to be a Yom Chamishi Laila, Yom Chamishi Yom, Yom Shishi Laila, Yom Shishi Yom, so that's four onos, and sometimes it's five onos if she had Tashmish at the beginning of the day on Wednesday, so she has the full day, Wednesday day, and then Wednesday night, Thursday day, Friday day, so that's five onos, and Pamishain Shesh onos, sometimes she might have had Tashmish at the very beginning of Wednesday night, so it's going to be six onos. Rabbi Kiva Omer Liolam Chamish, it's always five onos Shlemos that she's still going to be Tmei Avim. Yatsa Mixasana Rishona, Nosa Mixasana Shishis, meaning that it's always, it's hour based, it's time based, it's not calendar based. And if she was and if in the first Ona she didn't have Tashmish at the very beginning of that Ona, so then we make up for that in the sixth Ona, because it always has to be five full Onos. An Ona means a 12-hour period of either day or night. It always needs to be five full Onos. So there's going to be a machloka, so we're going to see a little later today, between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi, when Klal Yisrael was Porish from their wives prior to Kabbalah Satorah. The Chacham say that it was on a Thursday, and Rabbi Yossi says it was on a Wednesday. We're also going to see everyone agrees that the Aseres HaDibros were given on Shabbos, and that the women went to the mikveh to be mitar themselves from the Pleitas Zera on Friday night, on Shabbos. Not on Shabbos morning, but on Friday night, in order that there shouldn't be a situation where some people are going to be mekabel the Torah and others are running to get to the mikveh to be mitar themselves. So now the Gemara asks on Rabbi Akiva. So again, Rabbi Akiva was the last shita that we said that you need five onos shlemos. So Amrua Rabbanan kamei de Rav Papa va'amri la Rav Papa l'Rava. Someone said to somebody, but Rav Papa was involved, and they asked the following question. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who holds that if a woman is poletes on day three, she's already tahora. Kirabbanan da amri b'chamisha avid prisha. That goes like the Rabbanan who assumed that on Thursday they separated from their wives before Matan Torah, and there were some that only are very late on Thursday, and they were already able to go to the mikvah on Friday night, and they didn't have to worry about Pleita Shech Vezera because it was already the third calendar day from when they were Porish. They were Porish on Thursday, so you had Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. V'Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yishmael, who says that Poletus B'Yom HaShlishi is Temeya, then you need to wait till the fourth day, so that he must be similar to Rabbi Yossi, Damar Barba, Avid Prisha. Then on Wednesday, they were already Porish from their wives, and therefore you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. El Rabbi Akiva, come on, but Rabbi Akiva holds that you need five full Onos, and she's going to be Temeya for five full Onos. Who's he holding like? It doesn't fit anybody. It certainly doesn't fit the Chachamim, because if they were only Poresh on Thursday, you definitely don't have five full Onos before Friday night, but it doesn't even fit Rabbi Yossi, because the Pasuk only talks about what day it was, and Mixas Hayom Kikulo is the rule that applies always, and therefore, l'chora, they could have been Poresh at the very end of the day on Wednesday, and they were already going to the mikvah 48 hours later, pretty much, or 50 hours later on Friday night, you know, 49 hours later, whatever, on Friday night. So even if they were Poresh right before Shkia on Wednesday, they were already going to the mikvah on Friday night, right after Tzeisach L'chavim, so that's not five full onos. So how do we reconcile that? So says Gemara Liolam, K'Rabbi Yossi. Really, Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi that they were Porish on Wednesday. But Kadam Rav Ad Barava, but we're assuming, like Rav Ad Barava said, that Moshe Bashkama Allah u Bashkama Yara, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai during Matan Torah to receive the Torah, he went up early in the day, and also when he came down from Har Sinai, also it was Bashkama. Bashkama Allah, Dichsiv, how do I know that he went up early? Because the Pasuk says, when he went to get the Luchoshnios, Vayashke Moshe Babokra Vayal al Har Sinai. So you see that he had this habit of being Ola Bahashkama, even though that was by the Luchos Shnios. So we learn from there that all of his Aliyos before Matan Torah were also in the morning. The Achronim are a little bothered by that, meaning how do you see from there that all of his Aliyos were in the morning? But apparently that was the way he did it. So probably Al Pitzivah Hashem Bahashkama Yarad Dichsiv. How do I know that Bahashkama Yarad? Because by Kabbalah Satorah, when he has to tell the Jewish people not to be Ola Bahar, Lech Reid Valisa Atav Arunimach, Makish Yerida La'aliyah. So it says, Lech Reid Va'alisa. So we see that there's a hekish, the Torah is linking Yerida with Aliyah. So Ma'aliyah Bashkama, Af Yerida Bashkama, just like he's going up the mountain was Bashkama, the Yerida was also Bashkama, coming down the mountain was Bashkama. So when Moshe Rabbeinu had to come down to tell the Jewish people to separate from their wives, it was early in the morning. So he was being mafresh them in the morning. So you see, that apparently the Torah was being makbid about onos shlemos, about full onos being, five full onos being observed. Because, yes, it was on Wednesday that he told them, but it was Wednesday morning. So then you had the whole Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, there's your five onos, and then Friday night they were able to go to the mikvah already. So says Gemara, Lamele the Memruluhu, why does the Torah have to say the mitzvah, why did he have to tell them the mitzvah of Prisha in the morning? Why was it necessary to tell them in the morning? He could have told them later that day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you better get over there and tell them right now not to be Mishamish Mita. No, he could have waited the whole rest of the day. Yisrael Kadoshim, there's nothing that's going to happen between, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning and Shkia that night, because Yisrael Kadoshim, they don't have Tashmish Shamita during the day. So L'chora, there was nothing to be concerned about. So Amarava, Im Haya Bayis Afel, Mutar. So the Gemara answers, no, Tashmish Shamita B'yom is not categorically forbidden. If you have a room that's very dark, then it's Mutar. V'Amarava, Rava says, there's another exception. V'item Rav Papa, Talmud Chacham, Mafil B'taliso Mutar. If a Talmud Chacham is going to be Tzanua and he's not going to be Mistakel too much, so you could darken even just with his blanket, even with a cover, and it would be Mutar to be Mishamesh, even if the room itself has light in it. So since there are situations that one may be Mishamesh Mita, even by Yom, even during the day, Moshe Rabbeinu had to warn them in advance not to have Tash Mishamita already starting on Wednesday morning. So the Gemara now asks on what we said that the women were, I mean, what the assumption that we seem to be making, that a few people, by the way, I'm noticing in the chat, have asked me, where was there a mikveh in the Midbar? One person asked it privately, the other person asked publicly. Mount Torah took place in the desert. Where were the mikvahs? So that is that someone actually texted me that very same question this morning. If anyone has a good answer, you can let me know. I assume Be'er Shel Miriam had a din of a Mayan, and maybe they were able to be Tovel in a Mayan, but I don't know, or maybe they just had access to a natural body of water at some point. I don't know. So the Gemara asks now, we're making an assumption throughout this entire conversation, we're making an assumption that they went to the mikvah on Friday night. So ask the Gemara, Vatvula Yom Ninhu, since according to all the Tanaim, they went on Friday night, so at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, they were still the Tvul Yom, because Kabbalah Satorah was Shabbos morning, and so they never had a Har of Shemesh after the Tevila. Normally you go to the mikvah, so the Tahara is only complete after the Har of Shemesh, after the sun sets that night. So it's not mistaver to say that at Matan Torah everyone was a Tevil Yom, so it must be that they must have gone to the mikvah before Shabbos, and if they were polite at that point, the Plata must have been Tahara. But the problem then is going to be that it throws off all of our Cheshbonos, right? You're not going to have 3 days according to Rabbi Shmuel, you're not going to have 2 days according to Blaze Ben Azari, you're not going to have five onos according to Rabbi Akiva. So that's going to be a real problem. So answers the Gemara, Abaye Baravin, Rav Chanina Baravin, Dami Travayu, Nit Natorah, the Tvul Yom. Who says they couldn't be a Tvul Yom at the time of Matan Torah? Einach Nami, they went to the mikvah on Friday Friday night, and they were still a Tevil Yom by the next day, so they were Tevil on Lel Shabbos. So Yosef Maremar v'kamer Lel Shmaita, Maremar was saying over this teaching of Abayi and Rav Chanina that the Torah was given to Tevil Yom. Amalei Ravina l'Maremar nitna kamrit or ru'uya kamrit. What do you mean? Do you mean to say that in fact happened? That's the Metzius? That the Torah was given to Tevil Yom because they only went to the mikvah Friday night after it got dark? Or do you mean to say that could have been part of the plan, but Lemaisa didn't have to happen because the women stopped being paletas, meaning nothing actually came out of their bodies? So since meaning had something continued to come out of their bodies Friday afternoon, and Achinami, they would have gone to the mikvah on Friday night, and then they would have been they would have been a Tevil Yom at the time of Matan Torah. But they actually went to the mikvah earlier, and no zera came out of their body, and if no zera comes out of their body, then they're not a paletas. Samalei ru'uya kamina. He says, yeah, I meant that the Torah was ra'uy to be given al yidei tevilei yom, and therefore this cheshbon works based on what the halacha could have been, what the halacha is, but it's not what actually happened. What actually happened was that they were all tovel before Shabbos, and they were not polei shechvazera, and therefore they didn't have to go back to the mikvah mishatechshach. It wasn't necessary for them to go back to the mikvah after it already got dark on Friday night. So that's all it means, that it was ru'uya to be given al yidei tevil yom. So says Gemara, v'lutbulu beini shimshi, v'lutbulu torah beini shimshi. Why don't the Gemara asks, you know, Rabbi Kiva says that's five onos that you need. So the Gemara asks, why can't it be tovel on Friday night, and they'll be mekabel the Torah then, on Friday night? Meaning, why does Kadosh Baruch Hu have to wait till the next morning? So it must be that it's not five onos, that it's six onos. So how could Rabbi Akiva say that Plato is not metame after five onos have passed, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously waited for the daytime to give the Torah, so it must be because you need this extra ona. And says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, lo meirosh pasesa dibarti. Pasuk says in Yeshayo about Matan Torah that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when he revealed his Shechina to Klal Yisrael to give them the Torah, he didn't speak pasesa and bechoshech. It wasn't a secret, it wasn't a top secret meeting. They were not mekabel the Torah at night because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it that way. He didn't want it to be b'seser b'layla, but it had nothing to do with Tumentaro. It's about the experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to create with Matan Torah, and that experience was supposed to be a very open experience, in a way that didn't look like he was sneaking around. So says Gemara, v'litblu b'tzafra b'shabata, v'litblu Torah b'tzafra b'shabata. According to Rabbi Akiva, that after five onos, paletus is Torah, why did we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was mafresh them on Wednesday morning? He could have been mafresh them on Wednesday night, and they had an extra ona. The Torah wasn't going to be given until Shabbos morning anyway. So why couldn't Moshe just be mafresh them on Wednesday night? They'll go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning, and then they'll receive the Torah then. So Rabbi Yisrael Shloye alolu holchun lekabel Torah v'alolu holchun letevila. We wanted to separate the time frames that people went to the mikvah and the time frame that Kabbalah Satorah happened. It shouldn't look like some people are running to the mikvah and other people are running to be mekabel the Torah. That it should all happen at the same time wouldn't look appropriate. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be set up where they'd be able to go to the mikvah the night before and then receive the Torah in the morning. There's a fascinating comment over here from in the back of the Gemara. They print some chidushim from Rav Shaul Katzenellenbogen. A fascinating comment about Kabbalah Satorah. There is a famous line that gets repeated often around the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that the Gemara says that Gemara Pesachim Daf Samech Chesam Beis, that Rav Yosef commented, Ilava Hu Yoma de Kogarim Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka. If not for that day, Hu Yoma, the day of Kabbalah Satorah, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, nothing would make me special. How many I would be a regular Joe in the shuk. I wouldn't be any different. So Shaul Katzenellenbogen explains, based on three hakdamos, he says, we can gain a much deeper appreciation into that line. First of all, he points out, there is a Gemara in Eruv in Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, that Choras HaLucha Ilmolei Lo Nishtabru Luchos Rishonos Lo Nishtakcha Torah Miyisrael. Had it not been for the breaking of the Luchos Rishonos, the Torah never would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael, meaning we all would have been B'vchinas, the Uber B'meyimo, who learns Kala Torah Kula and knows it all, before the Malach smacks us and makes us forget, we all would have had Kala Torah Kula. None of us would have forgotten Torah had we just received the first Luchos. Second Hakdama, he points out, Rashi Ala Torah quotes from a Medrash that the first Luchos were given with Chuos and Kolos, and therefore Shaltaban Ayin Hara. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu been willing to have Kabbalah Satorah initially at night in secret, B'tzniyos, then we would not have been subject to the Ayin Hara, and it would have gone much better. But it didn't go so well because of all the show that was made out of it. It was subject to Ayin Hara. And third, a Gemara in Brachos, Rabba v'Rav Yosef. Rabba was an Oker Harim, and Rav Yosef was a Sinai. That he was a Bucky in all the Brisos. He knew Kala Torah Kula. He had a mastery over everything. So he says, now I understand. Il Malei Ahu Yoma. Rav Yosef is the one that says, had it not been for Ahu Yoma, we always say, had it not been for Matan Torah. Somebody says, he says, Ahu Yoma. If the Torah was not given by Yom Dafka, had the Torah been given at night, had the Torah been given as the Gemara suggested, b'seiser, in secret at night, then the Ayin Hara and the Yetzer Hara would not be sholeit. The Luchos never would have been broken. We all would have been b'vchinas Luchos Rishonos, and therefore nobody ever would have forgotten any Torah. Maybe not everyone would have been an Oker Harim, but everybody would have been a Sinai. I'm Rav Yosef. My Koach is being a Bucky and knowing everything. Lo nishtach haTorah miYisrael, had we had Bechinas of Luchos Rishonos, had we always remained with the Luchos Rishonos. So that's what he's saying. I mean, we always understand that line to be, had it not been for Matan Torah, we all would have been total Amaratzim. No, he's saying, had it not been for Ahu Yoma, had it not been for the daytime, we all would have been Bekiyim Niflaim. We all would have been Sinais like Rav Yosef. And would have taken an Oker Harim like a rabbi to distinguish a person. So that's why I personally wouldn't have been special. Only someone like Rabba would have been special. So I thought that was a fascinating insight for the day after Shavuos. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Am Rabbi Chiyah, Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Zudiv Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Al Chacham Morim Sheish Anu Shlemos Beinan. We've learned all these different shitos, whether it's 3 days, whether it's the third day, the fourth day, whether it's five onos. There is another shita, though, the Chacham hold that you need six full onos in order to no longer be paletes. So must be that those that were tovel on Lel Shabbos and were polet afterwards had to go to the mikvah again on Shabbos morning. Right, that even if they were Tovel on Lel Shabbos, but if they were then still Polate, according to this Shita, they would have to go to the mikveh again on Shabbos morning prior to Kabbalah Satorah. Amar Rav Chisda Machlokes, Shapir Shemina Isha, Aval Pir Shemina Ish, Tamei Kol Zman Sheilacha. This is all talking about Shech Vazera after it already went into the woman's body and is then Poresh from the woman's body. But if Shech Vazera just comes naturally out of a man's body, then it's Tamei so long as it's still moist. Masav Rav Sheshes, v'chal beged v'chal ara asher yeh alav shichva zera. Pasuk says that any beged that has shichva zera on it, so it's tamei, you need to be mechabes, and it's tamei ad erev, prat l'shichva zera shisrucha, and that's excluding shichva zera that is rancid. So my love, pirshom in ish, isn't it talking about shichva zera that came from a man, and the brice is mitired, even though it's still moist, it's rancid, because it doesn't say prat l'kishayavsha, that, you know, it doesn't say, Shech Vazera that's dried is no longer considered Shech Vazera. So says Marla, Shapir Shemini Isha. Who says that's talking about Shech Vazera that came out of a man? Maybe that's talking about Shech Vazera after it emerged, it originally came out of a man, but after it emerged from a woman's body, maybe she wiped with a cloth, and that's the pasuk of V'chol Beged V'chol Ar. Frek the Gemara, Bay Rav Papa, Shechva Zera Shel Yisrael B'mei Kutis Mahu. What would be the halachic status of Shechva Zera that originated in a man's body, but then went into a non-Jewish woman? Do we assume that it retains its potency for the same amount of time? Why not? So Yisrael, D'di'i B'mitzvos Chaval Gufayu. Maybe the Jewish people, because we have the constant pachad of being able to do mitzvos properly, and therefore that causes an extra chimum in a Jewish body, and therefore maybe that causes the shichva zera to become ruined more quickly. But akum d'lo digi b'mitzvos, but goyim who don't have to be worried about so many mitzvos, they do have mitzvos, but just not nearly as many, they only have sheva mitzvos, so lo, maybe their bodies are not mischamim as much, and the shichva zera is not masriach for 3 days, in just 3 days. Maybe it takes longer. Or maybe on the flip side, or maybe we assume that since they eat shkatzim rumasim, it turns bad more quickly in their bodies. And if you're going to say that it becomes that even in a shorter amount of time in a non-Jew's body, the shichva zera loses its potency, what would be the halacha if it was inside of a behema? Isha de isla prozdur, do we assume a woman who has a vaginal canal, so misrachas, that itself will cause it to be masriach more quickly? Aval behema de lesla prozdur, but a behema who anatomically is different, so lo, maybe it would not have, maybe the zera would not be mischamim as quickly, or maybe there's no difference, that as long as it went into another live creature from a male human, so it's still always going to take the same amount of time. Take with the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. So this line may not seem like one that's very nogea lemaisa, but there's a famous comment of the Chasam Sofer that he has in a number of different places where he writes that he finds it very difficult to rely on information that we receive from doctors, certainly when it comes to inyanim of nida, because all of their knowledge is based on sifrei refuos that were based on tests and studies that were done on non-Jewish people. And he says, based on this Gemara, it seems that because chavil gufayu de'igi b'mitzvos ochlim shkatzim rumasim, there are different factors when it comes to Jewish people, or at least religious Jews, and when it comes to people who are not observant of mitzvos, and therefore do not keep the same diet and do not have the same anxieties of mitzvah, of fulfilling mitzvos. So that's what Chasam Sofer writes in a number of places, that he finds it difficult to rely on such medical knowledge. Needless to say, that does not seem to be the majority opinion in Poskim. There's a tshuva in the Marsham where he Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Membeis, I think it is, that he points out that the Chasam Sofer seems to be against a Beferish Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there are many rayas against this Chasam Sofer, but it's based on this Gemara partially, at least, that the Chasam Sofer says such a great chiddush. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up over there. We'll pick up at Tanu Rabbanan on Pei Vav Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day.
Good day.